In our study of Hebrews. And this, an interesting thing happens to you when you're a pastor. You work all week long on a sermon, and then you're there on Sunday morning putting those last finishing touches on it. And then God says, you know, you did a good job last night when you finished that. Now let's start over. So we aren't literally starting over, but it occurred to me that we're going through this study on Hebrews. And the word study, I think, is what triggered something in my mind. You see, there are different kinds of pastors. There are teaching pastors, and there are fire and brimstone pastors. There are verse-by-verse exegetical pastors. There are Charles Stanley and J. Vernon McGee, and then there's the rest of us. So I have to lean towards teaching, and I have to sometimes pull back and say it's important to teach you the word. But on a Sunday morning, whatever it is we're covering needs to mean something to us. It has to guide us to Christ. So we're going to go through this again. And for some of you who may have missed some of this, the reason we're going through the letter to the Hebrews, by way of background, is the Hebrew Christians, they had made the change from being dedicated Jewish followers and temple attenders and that, to following this man named Jesus to what was in their time called the way of Christ. And the Hebrews that this letter was written to were starting to get a little antsy about this because they were being persecuted. So they were starting to maybe drift back towards their old habits. Maybe they were kind of going up to visit the temple on the regular basis and kind of drifting back towards those ritualistic ways. So the writer of this letter to the Hebrews had a purpose in mind. From the beginning, with the verses that we've gone through, the main theme was, look, this Jesus is higher, better, greater, more than anything else there is. He's higher than angels. And so as we've gone through, week by week by week, we ran across this fellow named Melchizedek, this Old Testament character, and his name just keeps coming up. And as I thought about just going through these next few verses, we were going to talk a little more about Melchizedek, and what hit me was, what's the point? Why do I care? So we're going to try to do a little bit of that. So if you would please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We've done the first part of it. We're going to pick up the story at Hebrews 7. What did I say? Oh, well. Hebrews 7, 11 through 28. How's that? Hebrews 7, 11 through 28. We did the first 10 verses last week. So like the Hebrew Christians of this time, we need to rely on Christ. Because he's the effective minister, we need to trust Jesus because he's the greatest and strongest high priest of all time. He's the one true high priest. So why all this ongoing comparison to this fellow named Melchizedek? You see, these folks that he's writing this to, they know about God. They know about the importance of having the priests intercede for them. Generation by generation, that's just been part of their life. These priests were held in the highest regard. So why all this emphasis on another kind of priest? Well, the answer lies in the very heart of their dilemma. Following Jesus was a huge change for them. If you're involved in something that is culturally your faith, leaving that faith has a bigger implication than is this faith the right one or not. Leaving what a cultural belief, like the Hebrews of the day, meant leaving your community, being separated from friends and neighbors. So this was a huge change. They had followed the authority of the priests for generations, and now they're being asked to change. So under persecution, can you see the impetus for them to kind of maybe drift back towards the old ways? Now see, plenty of people have a position of authority, but they're ineffective. You may know in your work life, you may have known somebody who has the title boss, but at the end of the day, it's the last person you want to go to get a problem solved. So having the position of authority doesn't make you effective. Jesus not only has the position, he has the power to change lives. Let's go to our text. And it says this, now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? See, the order of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, was the whole shooting match. The Old Testament priests, however, were ineffective. How do I know that? You know somebody's ineffective when they have one job and they have to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. The Levitical priesthood, they stood between the people and God, but what was their job? Every time I sin, I have to go to the priest and he has to make a sacrifice to God and that takes care of it. But if I sin again, I got to go back to the Levitical priest and do another sacrifice and then he has to put that before God. And then if I make a bigger sin, I got to get a bigger sacrifice and go back to the priest. See, the priest in the old system had to do it over and over and again. They could not make people perfect through the law. They could not help God's people become fully mature because they held the keys. The law itself could not do what Jesus could do, and for those very same generations, the Hebrews had fought against God, and the priests of the law were ineffective in guiding them. Sometime we'll go through the book of Judges and see how many times, over and over again, the Hebrews who obeyed God until they got comfortable, and then they disobeyed God, and God punished them, and then a judge came along and fixed it, and they praised God, and then they got comfortable, and over and over and over again. So the Hebrews, as much as they praised God, they couldn't quite get it right. And the law and those who try to administer the law try to pin you down and try to pour morality down your throat. That's the way some people look at it. But it never works. It doesn't make you a better person, the law. It only makes you want to rebel, even if you happen to like the law or appreciate its benefits. So a change was needed. One that drew its authority in a different way. So the Old Testament priests were ineffective in the sense of no matter what they did in the terms of intercession for the people, it wasn't complete. It had to be done over and over again. It didn't change the people. That's why God made a change from the Levitical priesthood. But in order to do that, he had to change the law as well. Let's see what we have next. For it says here, in 12 through 14, for when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Melchizedek. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. So where does that leave us? The law required that priests come from the tribe of Levi. So if you obey the law, you can't obey this Melchizedek or Jesus. And we've seen this in before when Abraham met Melchizedek. There isn't any really discussion. He gave him a tenth of everything, and Melchizedek blessed him, and Abraham received the blessing. He was called the priest of the Most High God. So there's something else going on there. So even though the law required that priests come from the tribe of Levi, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. So legally, he couldn't be a priest under the Old Testament Mosaic law. But God changed the law. Or to put it another way, God changed the method by which you can be mature in Christ. We go into the next few verses, and it kind of teases it out. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This Jesus, you are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. God changed the law. This quote is from this, you are a priest in the order of Melchizedek, is from Psalm 110, when he declared that the Messiah would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Since the old law and priests were ineffective, now when I say ineffective, it just means not that they weren't good people, not that they weren't obeying the law, not that they weren't doing all the rituals correctly. So the law and the rituals can neither save you nor bring you along to maturity in Christ. Rules can't do that. So God changed the law. Since the old law and the priests are ineffective, God instituted a new law with a new priest who, through the power of an indestructible life, look at verse 16, who has become a priest not on the basis of legal requirements concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. Do you know that in Islam, Jesus is considered the only person who ever lived who led a perfect sinless life? And every other major religion in the world holds Jesus.